This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2018, held in Harrisonburg, Virginia on March 2 and 3.
Okay, well, we're kind of scattered out here, but as some would say, you chose your seat, so I will allow you to sit in it. My name is Ron Coble, and I'm from close to Lafayette, Indiana. And Lafayette is about halfway between Chicago and Indianapolis, and part of the Old German Baptist Brethren community east of Lafayette. And I've attended CASBY, I think, 2 years ago in Goshen, Indiana, and found it a very enjoyable experience. And talking to Jonas a bit, and perhaps too much, and he thought maybe I could share some things that might be helpful to you. My background is in the medical community. I did my alternative service right after I finished high school, went to public school, and volunteered to serve my 2 years 1W service in Indianapolis, and was introduced to respiratory therapy, and basically that caught hold, and I did some further study at the University of Chicago and become a registered therapist, and subsequently started the respiratory therapy technician program through Indiana Vocational Technical College, and taught respiratory therapy for a number of years. Also, I've been in management and teaching in the hospital setting. Fast forward, I've had a medical equipment business, and currently, in addition to my school administration part-time position, I'm doing care management for seniors, trying to help keep them at home and access resources to keep them at home. So it's one of these type of presentations. I worked on it, and then the closer it came, you kind of work through, not sure you have anything at all that'll be helpful. And so we'll sort of make this a show and tell, and you can interrupt me whenever with questions. But we'll start out by asking you, how many of you have a mission statement for the school that you're participating in? So there's a number that do. I encourage you to develop one. Anyone else need handouts? Okay. I encourage you to develop a mission statement if you do not have one. It's helpful to be able to relate most of your policies and your activities to a mission statement. And I'll just read you the one that we have, not that it's exemplary, but the purpose of our school is to provide a sound basic education using a Christian curriculum in an environment that promotes a reverence for God, respect for proper authority, and love for our fellow man. And you, through that, you can see the basis of our mission. We provide education. We are using a Christian curriculum that promotes Christian fellowship and doctrine, environment that promotes a reverence for God, again, promoting Christian living, respect for proper authority, gives you access to the discipline that you might need within your school, and a love for fellow man, again, would be broaden their horizon. I have just a copy out of our manual. That I read this to the teachers every year, It's just a little prayer for the teachers as prayer for spirit-filled teaching. May this class be ruled by your perfect peace, and the patience you bestow let me show when I teach. May I model your kindness in all that I do, so that your goodness will brightly shine through. May my self-control be a light to each one, and my faithfulness and meekness honor your Son. May I love each student as you have loved me. Let my joy be witness of my love for thee. I think one of the roles of an administrator is to assist the teachers in keeping the overall school intact and sort of directed to why we're there. I think it's good to review a variety of principles from time to time to keep everyone focused. And so when I came to our little school, New Hope School, they did not have an administrator. And I had retired from my medical work. And that work required that I supervise three shifts of ladies. We had an all female staff at the hospital. And so over the 12 to 15 years, I became accustomed to a lot of the issues that the ladies have and the problems that seem to be important to them. And I think probably got a fair amount of education myself during that time. So,
Did you write a book?
Probably could. As I've said already, you know, there was 3 weeks of basic fundamental management, but the 1 week, which medically we would talk about as PMS, they seemed to all fall into that group at the same time and presented challenges usually that week. You learn very quickly to not visit with one any longer than another one because favoritism issues would develop. And you learn how to deal with tears frequently. And so you had to develop a concern for them and at the same time address their issues as well. So anyway, at New Hope School, one of the items that the board there asked me about was informed me before I went there, we had sort of a situation there where the dominant teachers sort of ran the school during the day. And so there were other teachers that didn't respect that. And so there was some conflict within the school, and they thought it might be best served if they had a male figure that could be at the school and to help develop a cohesion of purpose and discipline, give them the guidance they need. The policy manual, our school started in about 1982, and so the policies were in various sheets of paper, of yellow line, notebook paper, manual typewriter, and filed in various places. The policy sort of from one generation of board members to another. And so if you had a teacher there, had been there a long time, you could remember those policies and bring them forward. But a manual had not been developed. And so one of my early functions was to develop a policy manual, a notebook that had all of the current policies that had been approved by the board as near as we could tell. And once I sort of developed that together, put it before the board, they reviewed it, and then it became renewed and revised And so the manuals work quite well. And within that manual, we've got the discipline problems, our procedures, decisions of the board. There's a section for the curriculum, and then there's a section for each classroom to have their classroom rules, their own specific curriculums for that classroom, that kind of thing. So, one of my early involvement with the teachers was to establish frequent teacher meetings. And we frequently, in fact, yet today, we meet like Monday afternoons, right after class. And I have an agenda sheet, and I have the items that I want to bring up, and then I have their names and what grades they represent, and a space. It sort of serves as an agenda, also a place for them to write notes on. For their own use. So we work from an agenda, and we keep some notes about the meetings, and there we share. And my management style is not to be the boss, but to be the leader. And they're the teachers, they're the experts, they're the classroom experts. And so all I'm going to do is facilitate the meeting, try to develop consensus, and then if it needs to go on to the board, we take it to the board. Before I was there, the teachers were all required to go to the board meetings, give the reports for their sections. Now then, I can represent them at the board meetings, and typically they do a little report of their rooms. And I can embellish any issues that they might have onto the board. They're always welcome to go to the board anyway, and the board specifically invites them twice a year to come to a board meeting so that they more readily know who each of them are and give them opportunity to visit with them. So the teacher meetings, we build consensus. We develop messages. We discuss issues of students, the discipline problems, learning problems, and how can we best serve the needs of those students. And we try to work that out among ourselves, and if that is not possible, then we take that on to the board. So it's sort of a filter to the board. Learning challenges is sort of a current issue we're having. We have some families have foster children, their children that were born into drug abuse type situations, and so those tend to present issues in the classroom, such as mostly it's teacher time. Those students require more time from the teacher that takes away from the other students as far as meeting their goals. Some of the policies I can be helpful with. One of the issues was dress code policy. The teachers do not like being the dress code police, and so sometimes I would get involved with that. It was pretty easy for me to work with them because the board made those policies and the teachers are carrying them out. It's not that the teachers are actually making the policies, although they do have some liberty within their classrooms for their own rules and privileges that they might have in their rooms. A question I might make to you in that we need to be careful about allowing privileges for things and then not ever taking them away, because the privileges will become rights after a while. And so we've had the issues of the high school, for example, had a fair amount of liberty in visiting with their neighbor, free to go to the bathrooms and so forth. And it was always amazing, you know, either they were a room full of diabetics or they had micro bladders. I wasn't sure. So, in fact, just this year, I've talked about putting the high school on notice that next year there'll be a new set of classroom guidelines for their room. And the high school, for example, they could drive to school. It was a privilege. They had to specifically ask for it, specifically okayed. Well, we have the same issue that I just came from the technology group. Sometimes this driving to school is for the parents, not necessarily for that student. Some of them work after school, but some of them are the transportation for the other children in that family, and so that sometimes modifies that policy. But we do have issues, though, of dismissal. One of the teachers accompanies the students out to the parking lot and dismisses the parents so that it's done in an orderly manner, and then dismisses the drivers in the high school. And at times, depending on the teacher and how lenient they might be, then the boys like to disturb the gravel on the way out, and lots of honking and various things. Some of those, don't create too much issue, but it needs to be safe, and it needs to be monitored. And I've had some of the high school boys, instead of coming in the driveway and backing into the place, they drive across the ditch coming in, and so there's just little things like that constantly that require monitoring. One point you might consider that works for us in regard to snow days and delays and things like that, we work with our local public school, and so they have someone, the drivers, school bus drivers, that go out and check the weather as far as the safety of the roads and so forth. And so we happen to be on their call list, and so when they have a two-hour delay or closed for the day because of snow, whatever, I get those calls, and then it helps me make a decision for our school. That way I don't have to go out and make that determination myself. So if you have access to a local public school, that might be something useful to you. That way you can stay in bed maybe a little bit longer. And we have our own call list, too. We have a list of our families. I get the call from the public school, and then I call the four teachers that represent the four classrooms, and they in turn call a number of the families. So each of those, the rest of the families are divided into those four teachers, and they make those calls to announce the activity. Occasionally, though, I need to decide if the closure is valid. There's been times that the high school doesn't always say it's fog or it's ice or whatever. There's occasionally it's their furnace or boilers are not working or something, so we have to use a little judgment as well. As far as our own activity, that could be real useful to you. The items I'm going down here, it sounds a little like I've taken items out of my job description, but some of them might not be too useful to you. But in regard to teacher recruitment, I do assist the board in recruiting teachers. It's a good source to ask the teachers if they know of others interested. We sort of try to keep develop our aides as potential teachers. Some of our national church conference is a good place to visit some of the other prospective teachers. But it is an ongoing issue, and I think I've heard over the last couple of days that it's a sort of a widespread issue if you need teachers. So I encourage you to do what you need to do to keep your teachers and develop your teachers. Most teachers, if it's a good experience there, they will make sacrifice, and we realize it is a sacrifice to them because the pay usually is maybe half of what they could get in the another job. So it's we consider it a type of ministry, and we try to take care of their needs, and we want it to be an alive place, a place that they feel like they're making a difference, and so take care of your teachers. Just some couple things I do that helps maybe the teachers a little bit is I receive and distribute the mail. I tend to look at some of the mail, the more secular mail. If there's useful information in there, I send it on to the teachers. There's things about behaviors. There's new innovations, even though we may not do it. There's a lot of things going on right now for challenged learners and the attention deficit people. If you use the CLE handbook altogether, you know, sitting in a desk looking at a space that you've decorated for long periods of time, it can be challenging to keep them focused. And with some of the attention deficits, they've got desks now where they stand. They've got desks that have pedals under them that they can pedal their feet while they're trying to learn. There's all kinds of things going on there. So I'm not saying what's good or what's not, but it's information I think the teachers should have, because we do have students that have either are in some sort of counseling type settings where things like that are recommended. And so our teachers need to be aware of resources that might be available to them for that. And I sort of monitor that and send that on to them. And if it's catalogs and so forth that they have signed up for, then if it's got their name on it, I, of course, send that on to them. So manual. You need a school manual. You need a classroom section to that where you have your information. Conduct rules for the school. I mentioned the dress codes. There's for running in the halls. There's no cell phones. Any of those things, especially where they've been passed by the board, and those kind of all need to be put in one place. And each of our classrooms has this manual. And whenever a policy's made, I suggest always having a date on it, say down at the bottom somewhere or in one place. And if it's been revised, to even if it's handwritten and is revised in a date or approved by the board in a date, there's so many communications that get sent that usually there's no name on them, or I'll just say somebody anonymously will write this note and say, that was sent by the school board. The board may not know anything about it. So I think it needs to have an authorization number or name so that we can, if there's any questions, you know who to ask. And so I think it's a little thing, but it's one of those things that can, it's called what I call being picked to death by ducks. You know, one peck doesn't, it may You may feel it, but it doesn't, you can get over that fairly easily. But if you get enough of them, it can kill you. So I think those are useful things. Discipline procedures, we do have those. We pretty much follow CLE's guidelines for that, except for the older children in like the high school. They may not get check marks on the board or something, but you need to have your discipline problems spelled out and what's likely to happen. So I would divide your privileges from those that are the rules, and if you can develop those where it's a reward, the privilege is a reward, then you also have something you can take away if necessary. We sort of, as I mentioned earlier, we had got ourselves in a little bit of bind as the privileges remained in place for so long they became rights, and then we had issues with those, and it was very difficult to stop. In terms of interaction with your students, if a teacher is following a school policy, then she need not debate that with the students. Mm-hmm. We have a number of students who want to contest the rule, and it goes down to third and fourth grade to want to argue about the rule. And so I instruct our teachers that it's not necessary that they enter debates about the rightness or the wrongness or whatever the rule, and suggest to them that if they have issues about it, that the board would be glad to receive something in writing from them. If they need clarification or make a statement, they're welcome to do that. But the teacher, it's pretty easy for a teacher to get sucked into a discussion about that, and because the students may just say, well, that's a dumb rule, or why do I have to do that? Somebody else got to do something. So the teacher, we encourage them not to buy into those. Also, I assist in set, like the special programs. I'll make the seating charts, and once we find one that works, I will make those charts so that next year we can remember how we set that room up. When I first went there, it was always up in limbo. You know, what did we do last year? Well, somebody thought this, and one else thought that. There's not a place to go to look for those things. So, again, someone needs to sort of do that and put it together. We have an interesting note here in regard to discipline. We have teachers who recently had a problem with knowing what to do with discipline, and that how do you discipline using the scriptures of the fruits of the Spirit and the Sermon on the Mount to do effective discipline? What do you think? This one teacher in particular, it was a high school teacher, is a sister, and she struggles. She has a couple rather dominant young men in the high school, and who constantly seem to like to keep things off center, and they're not pleasant students. And so I've talked to her before, and I've used to have this saying in the hospital that if I didn't sort of act like I lost my temper about twice a year, I mean, if I did that, if I sort of raise my voice, and about twice a year things seem to go well. But I think some of our families, there's a lot of cacophony in those families, and the only way to get their attention is to make more noise than they are. And so my advice to the teacher, or my comments to her, was remember that the Lord, how he took the money changers out of the temple. And so there's just times that you need to do that. And otherwise they don't think you're serious. So, but for the most part, we need to be careful about that and be sensitive for the most part. I have a couple of books, or a book I'd like to draw your attention to. I'm not selling books, but here's a secular book that I have read and like. It's The Collapse of Parenting. It says, how do we hurt our kids when we treat them like grown-ups? And the author is Leonard Sachs, S-A-X. He's a physician. And for a secular book, I find it very, very helpful. And I think because you are all spiritually minded, I think if you look at this and consider his comments with your spiritual input, it would be might be valuable to you. Can't get the word to come up here. He's sort of trying to correct the problem of disrespect in the schools. And I think we're kind of familiar with it. We're not immune to that. And the children we tend to treat them like adults. And as he tries to say, that we're not doing them favors. And as was mentioned earlier yesterday, if we can't get control of the children by the time they're in kindergarten, we're probably not going to. And also those years, the rather firm discipline, so they learn the meaning of no, is at a tough time because they're small and they're cute and they're little, and it's not in our hearts to try to do much with that. And so it's difficult. I had a little list here, probably on the floor. Some couple suggestions to parents. I have five things here that after I've been doing this for this school. This is my 11th year, and these five things is probably what I would, if they wanted my advice on how to improve some things in their families. These are the five that I would give them. Number one, say what you mean and mean what you say. Define, or not define necessarily, but revisit what you mean and be consistent when you say no. Because no sometimes is yes, and sometimes it's maybe, and sometimes it's not now. And occasionally it means no. I see that all the time. The child will ask mother, father, and they can't seem to be definitive about it. So I would suggest weigh your response, but if it's no, then it's no, and be consistent. And after you've given behavioral directions, don't end your directive with okay. You know, I want you to do this. okay, bad. That means it's negotiable. So leave off the okay. Our children need to get more sleep, especially the younger children. I mean, there's all kinds of data available that suggest and describe that our children are not getting enough sleep, especially over the weekends. They come in Monday, shot. They've been up late and they're on outings over the weekend, and they need more sleep. And they need to eat some breakfast. That would be the five things that I would suggest. Now, some of you may not, you may have a principal, or you may have an administrator, or maybe just the board. But some people that I would suggest that you utilize for your school, try to attract, whether it be teachers sometimes, or there was another session, I think, utilizing local people. Sort of like myself, we have this, in our communities, we have this large population of know-how and expertise, retired businessmen, retired professional people, people who have all kinds of talents and things that could be beneficial to our school. If we can figure out a scheduled time frame that would work for them, and many of them would like to do something. And so you might let your minds run a little bit with that possibility. I mean, if you have woodworking projects or want to have them, I'm sure you have woodworkers in your communities. Auto mechanics, retired auto mechanic who could help devote time and energy to that. You probably have perhaps nurses or someone who could teach some of the health-related courses in the school. We have, in addition to our home ec for the ladies, we have a bachelor living class for the boys. And so they typically, what I see most of the time, is they all have new pajamas. And they learn how to bake a little bit and do a little few things in the kitchen. So those are some, and they seem to enjoy that kind of thing. You have electricians, you could have all kinds of electrical safety, you could have a sheet of plywood with circuits and household electricity, things that could be taught to both the girls and the boys, and basic wiring and basic home safety, electrical safety. We have one of our families. He works in fire safety, and he handles our fire extinguisher inspections and so forth. And this past month, we had three fire extinguishers that were to expire. Was not going to be able to get them rehydro tested and refilled, so they had to be disposed of. But before we dispose of them, we've decided that we're going to use them for a fire safety class, and we'll allow the high school, probably the high school, discharge those fire extinguishers. We'll have this man, he'll build an oil fire or something outside, and everyone will get a chance to pull the trigger. You know how we have all wanted to do that over the years. Well, here's your chance. You know. So. And of course, your mind can go to a variety of people, but I just think, you know, I'm 76 years old, probably one of the oldest ones here. I've kind of looked, And I still enjoy being busy and sharing what I know and helping youth. And I did adult teaching. I did choose to not be a substitute teacher when I came on board because, as happens in the hospital, when the night shift didn't want to come in, guess who did? And so when I started this job as a part-time administrator, I did not want to be the substitute teacher for every time they wanted to be off and so forth. So I made that a requirement. Now, I do help with a teacher that needs to leave for doctor's appointments, going to be gone part of the day or in late. I do monitor their classes for that. But as far as being on the list of the person to call, no. But that also brings up the fact that you need to have, and probably have in your schools, a list of substitute teachers. I mean, who does your teacher call when you have an emergency or you expect to be gone? And so we allow the individual teacher to have their own substitute list. We encourage that they have two or three names, and it's usually one of the mothers. It's sometimes a board member. Some of our board members, in the winter time, their businesses are not busy, and so they have more time to devote to the school sometimes than actually come in and do a day or two in the classroom. Our boards do continue to come in. We happen to have three boards, and they're on a three-year term. That's it used to be five-member board and five-year term, and probably a three-year term is a little bit of an issue because they're not on long enough and for the continuity. But if you have a good administrator who can fill in those gaps and kind of maintain the continuity, because I go to the board meetings and sort of function as a non-voting board member. I mean, I do participate in the discussion as invited, and but they make all the decisions. I'd like to see if you have any areas that you'd like to pick my brain. This next to the last session is kind of hard on the weariness of the yesterday and last night, and so to keep you stimulated. Does anyone have any questions on how we do things or anything more or less than students? And I might mention the CLE teacher handbook. Usually if you go to teacher training or if you've been there in the last 10 years, you'll have a fairly revised one. But CLE's teacher manual has a lot of information in there regarding behavior, discipline, not only problems but solutions and methods, and also a lot about your teachers, about the importance and the ministry of teaching, and that it needs to be looked at from time to time. And what I do every year is take some portion of that manual and review it with the teachers, even though they've had the teacher training sometime in the past. But I would suggest that if you don't have a manual for your school, that, and those are available from CLE, that you obtain one of those, and there's also an administrative section that is also available. And I have found that to be very helpful in a lot of our decision-making for our discipline and challenge learning disabilities and things like that. So I'm glad you mentioned that because it made me think of that. I don't know if I've answered your question totally. Anyone else? Well, it's a big order I guess we're past our time probably. So thank you very much, and God bless in your endeavors.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.